This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Now it's 9:19 in the morning, Monday the 23rd of December. And before we get into some corporate news, let's take a look at the markets, because the KLCI is still down 0.4% at 16.04 points. Looking at some gainers, the top gainers this morning on the list is Dyer Materials, who is last at 1 cent, so they've had a 100% change there. Now, EA Holdings is at 1.5 cent at 50% change. Lebtec Berhad is also on this list, 92.5 cent, up 15.6%, followed by Jag Berhad, up 14% at 4 cent, and Sanichi Technologies at 4.5 cent.
Here is a quick update from a daily market report by Rakuten Trade. I think they're expecting to see continued support and window dressing activities with KLCI to head towards the next level, 1,620 and 1,630 for the next couple of days.
Now, the Singapore's STI also is in the green this morning. They're up marginally 0.04%, but they're also up 4.7% on a year-to-date basis. Now, despite the fact that the Singapore economy narrowly escaped a recession, the STI looks like it's going to be ending the year on a positive note. So to get a better understanding of this and to look ahead to 2020, we speak to Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. Thank you very much for joining us, Jeff. So how did the Singapore stock market manage to defy gravity here?
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Roshan and Noel. Look, we had the STI, as you mentioned, generate a 4.7% price return. However, on a total return, which includes our dividend yields, we generated a 9% total return in the 2019 year-to-date. But that was pretty much in line with what the average annualized total returns for the preceding 10 years were for the STI. I guess that resilience note that you mentioned, there's a couple of things that could explain it. The first is that the STI is very diversified. On a weighted index basis, Singapore contributes just under 50% of the revenue associated with the STI, while almost another 50% is contributed by Asia-Pacific countries, excluding Singapore. And then, of course, we're also very diversified by different businesses. For instance, banks make up close to 40% of the STI weight, and effective today, we've got 9 real estate stocks that make up close to 20% of the weight. So regionally, we saw these two sectors react very differently to the lower global interest rates. So we've seen across Asia-Pacific, the median total return for the biggest 100 banks at around 8%, and that compared to around 21%, or 21% exactly, for the Asia-Pacific's biggest 100 real estate stocks. So if you look at it today, you've seen 6 of the 9 real estate stocks have also been amongst the 10 strongest STI constituents in the year thus far. And I guess that third point is just to the difference between that price and total return is that Singapore does, of course, maintain the highest dividend yields across Asia-Pacific. I think our FTSE Singapore Index, it maintains a 4.5% yield, which compares to around 2.7% for the region.
So, Jeff, overall, what sectors out or underperformed the STI?
Well, if you look this year, look, a lot of the market moves and the sector reactions have been very much tied to the outlook for lower interest rates. And this year, with the lower interest rates, we saw a surge in the interest of higher yielding global real estate stocks. Average daily turnover of our REIT sector in the year to date, it's been around 250 million, which is just under a quarter of the day-to-day turnover we have in our market. By comparison, I guess you could see those three banks we have here, they do represent close to 3 of the 10 largest stocks across Southeast Asia, and they trade around 220 million. So REITs have seen a lot more activity. It's also seen us list 3 stocks which have been ranked among Southeast Asia's 5 largest IPOs, and at the same time seen record secondary fundraising at $7.7 billion through private placements and rights issues. So all this, I guess, is the signs of vibrancy in terms of sector outperformance, and the sectors, of course, outpaced all the benchmarks. Our IHS REIT index has generated a 26% total return in the year to date. I guess to have a look at other segments which outperform from the perspective of net institutional inflows, we had net inflows led by five STI stocks. That's been telecommunications, real estate, diversified financials, as well as consumer goods, which was important. To your point, too, where we saw the underperformance, Dairy Farm International, it was the STI's least performer with a 34% decline in total return. But in context, Dairy Farm International was also the STI's best performer back in 2018 with close to 20% total returns that year. And I guess investors were rewarded who also looked outside the benchmark. So as a group, our 100 most actively traded stocks by turnover basically doubled the STI's 9% total return, with those 100 stocks generating median total returns of around 18%, average total returns of around 24%. And exactly two-thirds of those 100 stocks also beat the STI's 9% total return.
Great stuff, Jeff. Do you expect this vibrancy in 2019 to continue to 2020?
Well, yeah. I mean, as we said, it's resilient because if you look at the latest IMF forecast for this year, it's at 3%. And that 3% for global GDP growth, it does represent a 10-year low. Hence, as you've noted in that intro, you know, small advanced, open advanced economies could, haven't fared so well. Looking forward, we're expecting to see global growth expected to pick up around to 3.4%, I think it is, in 2020, and at the same time, our MAS Economic Policy Group expect the Singapore economy to grow by 0.5% to 1% this year in 2019, but to pick up modestly next year to be in a range, target range, around 0.5% to 2.5%. That, of course, is projected alongside a recovery in the global electronic cycle. But there's still a lot of work to be done. Last month, we saw the global manufacturing JP Morgan, the global manufacturing, it edged back into expansionary territory to 50.3, but it spent the preceding 6 months in contraction. And that last month's that PMI recovery for November was pretty much centered on the consumer goods sector. So there's still anecdotal signs of recovery in tech-related sectors. I think our exec chairman of our largest semiconductor stock has noted there's been an upturn in the overall semiconductor industry with demand picking up, chip inventories easing, and of course new technology disruptors also driving growth of new products and capabilities. But look, current market conditions are showing that also companies that have been able to generate more money, more net profit this year have fared better in the stock market, and that would be expected to continue next year. Just to back that up, I'd just look at our three banks, for instance. The bank that generated 13% year-on-year net profit growth in the first three quarters of 2019 generated a 16% total return in the year-to-date versus the bank that generated a 2% year-on-year net profit growth, which actually generated a 2% total return in the 2019 year-to-date.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And that was Jeff Howie of the Singapore Exchange talking to us about the Singapore stock market, some of the sectors that he expects out or underperformed. And he did mention one of the sectors that he mentioned there was technology, that they've seen, or he's observed and his colleagues have observed an uptick in semiconductors. And I think that's something that's been that is expected throughout the wider Asia-Pacific region as well, because South Korea is also expecting to benefit off a tech boom in 2020.
Yeah, and South Korea has been hit heavily by the falling exports, really. So, and any increase in the semiconductors and exports in that region will help the Asian region, Asia-Pacific region at large.
So he mentioned the banks a couple of times, and I think UOB is on the top list of a few banks, research houses. For example, in CIMB, I think the target price is 29.10 Sing dollars. Right now it's trading at about 26.40 this morning. So there are some interesting buys, of course, in Singapore. And I think Singapore REITs also have done very well. And if I may say, Singapore REITs, compared to Malaysian REITs, I think Singapore offers more choices and better quality ones, arguably, of course.
And that is all of the corporate news that we have for you this morning, because we're heading into the 9:30 news now. And then after that, we'll be having Pressing Matters, where Shazana Mokhtar speaks with Farah Marshita and Radzi Razak of the National Union of Journalists and Gerakan Media Merdeka about the state of affairs of the media industry. Stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.